There's something missing in the way I speak, and I cannot explain it exactly, but I will try my best. Hey, guys and girls, welcome to the 16th episode of GP Power, the podcast dedicated to vegan athletes and entrepreneurs who want to change the world. Super stoked to be here. And I just want to start off by letting you guys know, and girls know, that I've actually quit my day job. Super, super stoked to see what the opportunities are ahead of me, what the risk is. I'm going to focus 100% of my time on digital marketing for vegan brands, on Shopify dropshipping, because I enjoy marketing. I breathe it. I love it. And also focusing maybe down the road on a vegan apparel clothing line, just because I enjoy all this process. This is never about the money, although it does come. This is all because I enjoy marketing. I enjoy speaking to people and actually engaging with people on that kind of level. So super stoked for this. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce to you Mr. Lucky Lifestyle, triathlon athlete. Super, super great to have him share exactly his story, from how he started from no one in his community, having no one to talk to on social media, to where he is now, having so many people supporting him, him supporting so many people and inspiring people for YouTube videos. And his daily motivation, it's more than motivation, it's inspiration, it's introspection, man. It's super cool to have him actually share some tangible tips, because I know a lot of people in the motivation, quote-unquote, industry are after like the fluff, like work hard, do your best, but he's going to actually share step-by-step tangible tips on how you can use what he's learned to better your life. So without further ado, without rambling on, I want to present to you Lucky Lifestyle. I guess the first thing I really want to ask you, because I personally find a lot of inspiration in your message, I just wanted to ask you,
thank you,
is there something that not many people know about you?
That I do a lot behind the scenes.
Exactly. Like, what do you do during your downtime?
Those times don't exist.
I like that.
Honestly, man, I'm just trying to make so many things happen at the same time that is just, I have my like 9-to-5 job. I'm still at that point now. And like currently I'm training for a half Ironman. So that's like a 12 hour of training per week. And then, you know, I'm trying to grow my YouTube. I'm trying to grow my Instagram page. So I'm always, or either shooting. So I'm always doing something to grow my brand and to bring more awareness to what I'm doing. So honestly, there's not much of that downtime. And if it is like downtime, I'm just, you know, hanging out with my girlfriend, watching Netflix, spending quality time.
I really like that answer, that you have no need to compensate because you're living the lifestyle 100% and you're just enjoying yourself. So that's a really cool answer.
Thank you, man. Yeah, it's just the honest truth.
And going to your Ironman and your triathlon kind of sport, what was the aha moment that really got you into that and say not other sport? Because you hear often of successful people either going directly into powerlifting, into bodybuilding, but triathlon is the first time I hear about that. So what got you into that?
What's interesting that you talk about bodybuilding and powerlifting, because I've done a variety of things when it comes to fitness. So I first started off being I was a basketball player actually for 8 years. I played college ball, and then I turned into bodybuilding. I did bodybuilding for 4 years. I've competed, and then I turned powerlifter. Never got the opportunity to do a meet, but I lived a lifestyle for like a full year, and then I turned high fashion model, and then I had to lose all the muscle that I gained. And so that's kind of like the beginning of my fitness journey. But then I don't know if you saw on my social media platforms, in October I did a big bike trip from Vancouver to San Francisco to raise money for cancer patients.
I did see that.
And that was like a 2,000 kilometer journey. We raised over $4,000. It was amazing. And after that, I was like, all right, that was a big challenge for me, like, because I've never done a bike trip before that. I was like, what can I do next? And then I started, like, you know, just a video popped up on YouTube, and I was like, triathlon, what is that? And biking, swimming, running. I'm like, I can run, I can bike, I don't know if I can swim. And then I thought, like, the Ironman competition came up. I was like, wow, that seems like something nuts that I would do. So I signed up for it. And then, like, I thought I should prepare. So I did other races to get myself ready for it. And that's kind of how I got into it. And as soon as I did my first one a couple of weeks ago, I just fell in love with it, because there's always that challenge of, even if you do a good swim, you swim pretty well and you get out of the water, you can still mess it up by biking slowly or running slowly. And even though you have a good swim and a good bike, it's not over, because you can run slowly and still not win. So I like the fact that you can't give up until the end. That's what I liked about it.
Yeah, and I really relate with like especially long distance and endurance exercise. I feel there's a lot of stress in bodybuilding about body image issues, but I love how marathon really translates nicely into life and creating a journey for yourself, whereas it's about finishing the race, right? Not about the speed you're going at.
Exactly. And it's a complete shift because I came from the world of you have to look a certain way for bodybuilding and for modeling. And that was a hard mindset shift that I needed to do and I needed to make happen. I'm super grateful that I did because you just realize that there are things that are more important than how your six pack looks, right?
Yeah. And was body image ever something you struggled with in the past?
Oh yeah, 100% since I was a kid. Yeah, I just after I was done modeling and I stepped out of it, that's when I was comfortable and I was confident because I was like, I've gone through like I've lost all the muscle mass that I gained and now I was skinny and I was like, oh, well, I need to accept myself the way that I am because I don't have this muscle mass to identify myself basically because that was the character that I've built, this big muscular guy. And now I needed to like work on myself, work my personality, accept myself as a skinny person. And then when I got out the modeling industry where I was, people stopped criticizing me, that's when I was like, you know what? Like, I feel good. I have a lot of energy. And that's the period where I transitioned to like plant-based eating. That's why I felt even better. So I was like, I don't need to like worry so much about having like a ripped six pack and being the biggest guy in the gym. I'm like, I feel good being me and how I am right now.
I like that. And when did that passion, that fuel, that transition towards triathlon turn into a voice and a message where you're now inspiring people?
So it's fine because the whole triathlon thing started about like 4 or 5 months ago. But the whole sharing my journey and inspiring people, that started 5 years ago. I've always been someone that was really authentic, and I always knew that by someone being authentic and taking the first step and sharing things that most people don't share, that would allow other people to open up and share their own story and feel more comfortable about their journey. So being aware of that from the start, I was like, I just need to be that person that's going to take the first step. And maybe people will make fun of me, maybe people will connect with it, but like, who cares? At least it will connect with the right person and it will help the right person along their journey. And that's kind of how I got started. So that's been through like through bodybuilding, through modeling, through traveling. I've always done that, no matter what I was going through.
I like that. I like that approach, especially. I don't know. Are you familiar with Tim Ferriss?
Yeah, of course.
And he talks a lot about when you're posting content about out there, it's not about inspiring millions or all your following. It's about talking to the very few that will really get the message and really take action on what you have to say. And I love how you were able to bring that up.
Yeah, exactly. There's a you can hear something 10 times and then the 11th time it's going to click with you and that's going to change your life. And maybe I say things that a lot of other people say, but maybe the way that I word it is going to connect with someone at that time and that's what's going to make the difference. So why hold myself back on trying to create those moments?
Okay. Yeah, I like that. I'd re really resonate with that. And if you could really break it down, how did you exactly go about starting, say, inspiring people and spreading that message out there? Was it with social media? Did you commit to a certain amount of posts per week? How did you go about it?
It all started with social media, that's for sure. I was a really shy kid before, and I would have never shared or talked to a stranger or done anything like that. It all started with social media. It was like an outlet for me to like my personal journal, if you want. And you know, when you start off, you have like 100 followers. It's different now. You have 14,000 people watching now that are if I would had that many people, I probably wouldn't have shared from the start. But then it grew, the community grew, and more people joined, and more people were liking what I was doing, and more people were supportive, and it was helping more people. And I was like, wow, like this feels good to help other people. Might as well keep doing it. And then it just grew to what it is now. Yeah, that's how it all started, slowly, just growing the community really slowly. Like took over 5 years.
Yeah, and slow the better sometimes you feel, but I feel it's like you said, sometimes it's so hard. It's really hard sometimes to really stick to one thing. And like you said, there's no downtime, right? It's all a process. You have to just take one step in front of the other. And how do you, as someone assertive and accomplished, make sure that you stay motivated and stay on track, especially when you require so much patience?
because I see the end vision. Like, I know what I want it to look like, and I'm aware of the amount of work that I need to put in. I'm a big fan of Gary Vaynerchuk.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, just fall in love with the process and be realistic about what it takes in order to accomplish your vision. And I feel like that's how I approach it. It's, I know what I want to accomplish, and I know it's going to take a shit ton of work to get there. And I'm okay with doing that work. If I wasn't, I wouldn't be going down that path. I'm super honest with myself. If I know I'm not willing to do the work, I just won't go for that thing.
Mm-hmm. And what is your vision?
I want to be a social influencer. I want to spread the word that people are going to accomplish whatever they want to accomplish. And I want to promote a healthy lifestyle while doing it, because so many people will start eating shit and not sleeping and not working out in order to accomplish their goals. But then they get sick, and health is a big thing for me. And I just want people to do it in a healthy way. If that makes sense. Absolutely. Like, you don't need to destroy your body in order to be successful.
I like that. And definitely, I've been struggling a lot with that, especially in my early days. I'm still young. I don't know why I'm saying early days. But I would often talk about sacrifice and sacrificing my body for a greater good. And though there is a place and time for that, it's really about sustainability and going for the long run. And if you're just killing your body over and over again, then there won't be a vehicle for your message and your mission in the end, right?
They won't. And you'll be turned off by your vision. And you'll feel lack of motivation. And it's like every athlete out there, if you just kill yourself and you don't learn how to run properly, swim properly, and just eventually you destroy your knees, you destroy your ankles, you destroy your shoulder joint because you're swimming so much, you're not stretching, you're not taking care of yourself. Eventually you can't compete. Like, your body's done. You can't do anything. You can't do the thing that you love because you didn't take care of your own body. And I feel like that's the same approach that people should take to life, is take care of yourself, find balance, which, to be honest, is something that I'm freaking terrible at. Finding balance, I suck at it, but something that I'm working on every day, and taking care of myself. Like, as much as I live a healthy lifestyle, I eat a plant-based diet, I work out, I try to sleep 7 hours a night, I still have moments where I'm just like destroying my body, and I'm like, I just need to work hard for this period of time and then recover after.
I like that. So maybe could you dive deeper into how you make sure you're sustainable and take care of your body?
I just listen to it.
Just listen to it.
Yeah. If I'm super exhausted, like, I won't go work out. And I've gotten to a point where I can listen to my body and what it's craving. If I know I need more fats, like, my body will tell me, and I know what it feels like, I'll start eating more fatty foods like peanut butter, avocado, and stuff like that. If I feel like I'm really depleted and I'm flat, I know I need to eat more carbs. So I'm just going to go eat more carbs. If I know I'm tired, I'm trying to go to bed early and get some more rest and cut back on some other stuff. Definitely trying to listen to my body, because it's basically the vehicle and it knows what it wants.
I like that. And taking that, moving that into kind of your morning routine, because I know as an athlete, as an entrepreneur, especially if you have your 9-to-5, you need to make time for yourself, for your YouTube channel, for your message, for your tribe. And I guess so often the best time to do that is early morning. So I wanted to ask you, what does your morning routine look like? What do the first 60 minutes of your day look like?
When you sent me that question, I laughed a little bit because it's terrible. I see like all the Tim Ferriss routine where they all like meditate and read books and shit like that. And I wish I was doing that. I absolutely don't do that. My schedule changes all the time. I'm either like starting at 6 a.m. or starting at 2:30 in the afternoon. So depending on the day, like 6 a.m., I'm just going to wake up, have breakfast, and go to work. If I start at 2:30, I'm going to wake up. You know, usually the first 60 minutes, I'm probably on my phone and eating food.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably what I'm doing. I spend a lot of time on my phone trying to build a community, trying to connect with other people. And that's just one of my focuses right now. That's why I spend so much time on it. My me time for me is training. Since I train 12 hours a week, that's a lot of alone time that I have to think, to plan ahead, and just to do all that stuff. So for me, I do all that during my training. I don't necessarily do it first thing in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I absolutely relate with that. Sometimes, though, I have the goal of waking up, say 6:30, 6, like you said, it's about respecting your body. And if your body didn't completely replenished, then it's better if you take that extra sleep.
Exactly, yeah. Because you're not functional for the rest of the day.
Absolutely. And actually asking you about waking up and going directly to the cell phone, because we hear a lot as young people, we hear that it's not good. You shouldn't get in the routine of looking up on your social media right away. It gets maladif, if you want. But yeah, looking at you and someone who's trying to build a tribe, I completely see the other side of things and understanding that this is part of your great process. And I want to ask you, how are you able to delegate early morning distractions that come about on social media?
I'm just working on awareness, to be honest. I'm just trying to catch myself when I'm on it too long. Mm-hmm. And also another, like, I can share that tip with you. I've downloaded the app called Space. And okay, that thing keeps me in check, man. It tracks how long you're on your phone every day, how many times you've unlocked your phone. And if you unlock your phone, it's going to be like, hey, you've unlocked it like 50 times today. Are you sure you need to be on it? Or you've been on your phone for 2 hours today. Are you sure you need to be on it? Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Sometimes I look at it, I see the message, and I'm like, you know what? I don't need to be on my phone. I just put it away. That's been helping me out a lot. I still spend like 3-4 hours a day on my phone, but I put it down more often.
Yeah, that's super cool, though. That's really cool.
Yeah, because sometimes you just have the reflex of pulling it out and opening it and checking it. Even there's not, like, you don't have to.
Yeah, exactly. And I definitely struggle with it. And I like just learning from my mentor and learning like about neuroscience, because I'm really getting into that. Like our brain is constantly trying to find excuses and trying to rationalize our decisions, right? But the decisions come first. And it's great that apps like Space are able to help you like take the data and analyze like and put back in question your reflections.
Yeah. Oh yeah, 100%. And I can relate to the whole like your mind is trying to come up with excuses. That's the same thing when, you know, we have a diet goal or a training goal. Your body's gonna be like, I worked out hard today. I can have a little bit more food than I'm supposed to. Or I worked out hard and I can have that ice cream container. You know, Ben and Jerry's dairy-free peanut butter chocolate ice cream. So good. But sometimes like I shouldn't eat it.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's still time for that. But of course, you gotta make it. You gotta be able to control yourself and know yourself well enough. Like you're able to listen to your body to a point where it doesn't become excessive.
Exactly.
Mm. And maybe I'd love to hear your tips personally on building that tribe. And how would you tell, say, young people, 18, 17, they don't necessarily have a voice, but they want to start getting message out there. Either it's veganism, they want to share food pics, they want to inspire people and grow a community. What would you say are the stepping stones, and how would you tell them to build a goal around that?
Oh, man. Be patient. That's one thing. It's not because you post a really nice picture that you'll get 2,000 likes. Learned that the hard way. Mm-hmm. Build a personal brand. Like, honestly, my resume, terrible. The only reason I get jobs is because of my social media platforms. People see the cool shit that I'm up to and see what type. They get a vibe about who I am because mm-hmm. of the personal brand that I've built. And I feel like that's the way the future is going. Build your personal brand, because people won't necessarily look at your resume anymore. They're going to go on Facebook and see if you're partying and you're doing drugs, if you're a good or a bad person, right? Like that's where people go. So I'd say build a personal brand, be patient, and do something that's authentic to you, because nobody can replicate that. If somebody tries to replicate who you are, it won't be authentic and people won't connect with it. Everybody's special. Everybody has their own unique story. And I feel like that's everybody's power. And a lot of people don't use that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason. There's like thousands of vegan pages, but everybody went vegan for a different reason. And why are people starting an Instagram page just because they're vegan, or is there a purpose behind it? If there's no purpose, then don't start a page. Do something that's going to have purpose behind it, because people can feel that.
And absolutely. I remember when I was pitching, I'm doing social media marketing right now. I just started an agency. And I remember early on when I was pitching, people see it when you're just in it for yourself. People definitely feel that energy, and it will always go back to you in the long run. So it's really about knowing your special, knowing what you're here for, and having a greater vision than just building that personality brand. And though building the personality brand will be a byproduct and will definitely benefit you in the long run, it's really about helping others and bringing value to others. But following up on that, I know it's sometimes very trivial, but I know we still struggle in analyzing and knowing what our strengths are. How would you go about and knowing what our strength, like identifying a strength for someone?
For someone?
Yeah. Or for yourself?
Trial and error.
Okay.
That's the only way to do it. If it doesn't work out several times and I'm not enjoying it, it's probably something I shouldn't be doing. I'd rather focus on the things that I'm good at, and the things that I'm not good at, get help with them. Yeah. Mm. I'm not a great photographer. I'm not a photographer just at all. So that's why I brought in somebody on the team that is a photographer that takes amazing pictures. Mm. Because that's not my skill. He's better at it than me.
Mm-hmm.
So I started trying to bring in people that are better at certain things than me. And that's how I try to expand.
Okay, I get that. And I know your time is valuable. I want to follow up on that actually and ask you, like, because you hear sometimes advice. I'm not that familiar with Gary Vee. I do listen to his stuff, but I resonate more with other people in the community, like Jeremy Haynes.
Yeah. But
I know a lot of people sometimes say, you don't have the skill, well, outsource it. While some other people say, well, you don't have the skill, build on it, build it yourself. So how are you able to mitigate what you should be building on yourself and what you should delegate to other people? Because of course it's building on your strength, but sometimes you have a weakness that needs to be heard and assessed.
Well, work on, like, that's just my approach. I'm not saying it's like the way to go, but work on what you enjoy working, that you want to get better at. That's number one. And second, what I did is I've built my brand to a point where I'm able to bring people in. So at first I had to learn to do everything myself. But build it, learn everything yourself until you get to a point where you can bring people in and then they do a better job than you do. But you can't bring people from the start, because it's hard, because you're bringing people based off a vision that you have, and people have to see that vision too, which is really hard to sell at first. Or you're starting off and you have no money, so it's hard to bring someone in. But once you start making money and that vision is a little bit more clear, then it's easier to bring people in to do a better job than you do.
Mm-hmm. And how do you sell that vision?
Everybody does it differently. I try to explain, like, I brought in one of my buddies who's a photographer. I worked with him over a year ago, and then I had to like let it go because it wasn't to the point where I wanted it to be, and I wasn't ready to expand at that point. But when I reached out to him again, I had a clear plan of what I wanted to do. I know he's a bit more business oriented, so I had a detailed plan of like, hey man, this is where I'm going, this is what I want to do, those are the steps that I want to take, this is what's involved for you, this is what you get out of it. That's how I did it with my friend. I feel like everybody's different. Some people are more emotional based, some people are more fact based.
Mm-hmm. And it's really, again, going out there and adapting yourself to other people, so it's not just explaining it the way you see it, but understanding the way other people see it. And that, I think, is true leadership, and you've definitely mastered that.
Thank you. Yeah, if people won't receive what you're saying the same way you're putting it out,
yeah,
you're responsible for how they hear it too,
man. There's so many questions I want to follow up on you, and I would be so blessed to have another episode with you to talk about this.
Of course, man, let's do it. You got my, like, I promise you, live on the podcast, we'll do another one.
Awesome. Well, listen, what is the best way, the number one best way people can reach out to you and get to know you more?
Oh, at Lucky Lifestyle, i.e. on Instagram. That is the best way. I'm Instagram soaring every day. I'm posting every day. I'm interacting every day. That would be the number one place.
Awesome. Well, boys and girls, if you made it this far, go reach out, go DM Lucky and tell him how much you've enjoyed this interview with him.
Yeah, and I'd be glad to talk with all of you.
What? Hey, thank you so much. If you made it this far, I'm super glad that you're part of the community and that you've actually enjoyed the piece of content, that you have actually gotten some value out of this. And I'd love for you right now to go actually DM Lucky Lifestyle or myself, Chickpea Power, on Instagram, and let us know what was the number one piece of content that you've actually found useful in this interview and that you're going to start applying by today. It's super important to let yourself become accountable for the actions you're about to take, for the process, the journey you're about to embark on. And I'm super excited to be part of yours. Now, take one step in front of the other one and go. Before you consume any type of content, before you go to episode number 17 or go back to episode number 15, go apply whatever you've learned today and go make a change. Go make, whether it's incremental or complete, giant booster step, go take the necessary step towards your direction.